Hey, good morning. Rise and shine. Give God the glory. It is Wednesday, April the 15th, in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake up call. It's good to be with you here at midweek. It's a new day. We're going to let yesterday go. We're not going to worry about tomorrow. We are in today. And the greatest thing we can do is walk through the door of Jesus, the consecration of our lives to Him. This will make it a different kind of day than it would have been. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, On Starting Downton Abbey at Season 6. And our text today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Now, consider this. So, how do you read the Bible? Where do you begin? Which book do you read first? What if someone out there somehow starts reading the Bible at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7? But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It would be akin to beginning to watch the celebrated television show Downton Abbey at the start of the sixth and final season. One could be drawn into the story at that point, have some sense of what was going on, and be compelled to keep watching. Chances are, some weeks in the near future, on some slow Friday night, the newly hooked viewer would foray back to season one and engage in what has come to be known as binge watching, coming up for air at the end of season three and finishing out four and five in time for church on Sunday. They would then be caught up. So let me ask you with respect to the Bible. Are you caught up? Because of the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is conceivable that a person could read today's text and become a follower of Jesus. They might mistakenly assume their place in the puzzle is at the center, It would be important to go back to season two to understand what, quote, "we were dead because of our sins" means. And to really get that would require going back to the real beginning with season one. In other words, some binge watching or reading would be in order. Most people read scripture with no sense of being caught up. In Ephesians, Paul brings together all the dislocated pieces of a massive puzzle and puts them together into a marvelous whole. Paul wants us to understand where we fit. It's not at the center, which is what blew the picture up in the first place, creating the gazillion scattered puzzle pieces. Our place is gathered together around the centerpiece, which is the person of Jesus Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. That's Ephesians 1:23. And because he fills us with himself, our place moves from gathered to scattered throughout the whole world. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. We find where the piece that is our life fits into the puzzle by the grace of God. The grace of God in Jesus Christ convinces us we no longer have to fit in with all the effort that implies. The gospel truth is we already fit by the design of our Creator. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Grace means God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, which is to raise us from death to life. Not only are we united to Jesus by grace, but we are kept in union with him by grace. All we must do is say yes to Jesus with our lives. He has done everything else. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whose death and resurrection we find our own death and resurrection. Not in the life to come, but in this life. We understand grace, and yet we don't. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with the courage to go deeper in, which we recognize may mean lower down. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the journal prompts today. I got four of them. Most of us entered the story of salvation at season six. Have you gone back and immersed yourself in seasons 1 through 5 of the scriptures? What pieces of the story are you missing? Number three, where are the gaps for you? And the last one, what does it mean to you to be saved by grace? That's a deep one. Well, that's a deep one too. Dad's going to help me sing here in a minute. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, that great, great gospel hymn. But what do you make of this? You know, I was in church preaching one Sunday, and I asked the people. I said, so if I asked you to kind of give me the seven seasons of Scripture, the Word of God, the story of God, the seven seasons, if you had to put the story of God into seven seasons, like an epic show or an epic movie series, what would you title them? And it was really quiet. Of course, I didn't really think anybody would speak up, didn't expect them to. But then I said, all right. I said, who thinks they could do it? And I didn't see any hands. I said, okay, now, who could tell me all seven seasons or movies of the Harry Potter series? Oh, gosh, all the kids' hands went up. I said, okay, give them to me. And one of them stood up and said, the Sorcerer's Stones. The Sorcerer's Stone, you know, the Prisoner of Azkaban, Deathly Hallows. They just ticked all seven, or I can't remember how many there were, something like that. They just named every single epic episode. We could do it on Star Wars, right? It's interesting how most of us came into Star Wars. We thought it was the beginning. It was actually the fourth episode, A New Hope. Then we watched 4, 5, and 6, and we went back and they made 1, 2, and 3, and then they wound up making 7, 8, and 9. You see, you can pick up the story at many different places, but you need the whole picture. And so I've begun to teach the Bible in those. I have seven. I've gone to seven seasons for the Bible: creation, the fall. Creation is Genesis 1 and 2. The fall is Genesis 3 through Genesis 11. Abraham, okay, maybe it's not fair just to make such a massive chapter. Abraham is Genesis 12 all the way, I guess it's Malachi 6. I think that's probably the last chapter of the Old Testament. Abraham, there's so many movies within that. And then after Abraham is Jesus. That's where we come into the story. And we want to go back and watch the earlier seasons, right? So Jesus, then comes the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Holy Spirit, I call the Holy Spirit, I say it's Acts chapter 1 and 2. And then the church, season 6. The church is Acts chapter 3 all the way through the end of Jude. And then I say the final chapter is the new creation. And I say that's Revelation, you know, going forward. You could actually do this a lot of different ways. You just got to pick a way. I like my way. But it's important for us to know this story because this is our story and it's a puzzle. And you see what Paul's doing is he's trying to help us put the puzzle back together. And he's trying to show us that the box top is Jesus himself. And you start with the center, and then you work your way out, and there are no edges. All right. Amazing Grace. I should have talked more about that, but we got some more days to come. Let's sing now. Okay, Sower Nation, we got a special singer here today, and we are going to sing a special song. We are going to sing what would have probably be known as the American favorite hymn, the favorite hymn of America. Even though it's a British hymn, it was written by a slave trader. And you see the name. Who wrote the song?
John Newton.
John Newton.
In 1779.
He was a bad man. He was a slave trader. He was very abusive to the slaves from out of Africa, and And he became converted. He became a Christian.
Good for him.
And I think maybe William Wilberforce helped lead him to the Lord. Maybe. I can't remember exactly, but Wilberforce was a great abolitionist. But, you know, he says in this hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
but now am found.
Was blind, but now I see. And today in our wake-up call, we just came to the core of the gospel, which is by grace we're saved. Like, we don't bring anything to it. Jesus,
no, we don't do one thing.
Jesus brings everything.
But we need to thank him.
We need to receive it and thank him.
That's right.
But it makes me think about, like, who I was once. I once was lost. Mm-hmm. But now I'm found.
We all were.
I once was angry. And I'm peaceful now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember how you used to be before you really knew Jesus?
I was just lost. I don't remember any particular bad thing I was doing. The only thing, I wasn't doing Jesus.
You weren't following Jesus,
no,
were you? You were going your own way.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly the bad. But, you know, you may not be doing bad things out, but then in your mind, you're doing some bad things. And I think that's what I was doing. I was thinking bad things about people.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And sometimes I still do.
Well, but Jesus, you're not who you used to be, are you?
No.
That's the thing. We're not who we're, we are not yet fully who we're going to be, but we're a long way from who we used to be. That's the grace of God.
Yeah, we need to write a song on that.
Well, tell them what we're singing today.
We're going to sing one that you all know, Amazing Grace.
Get up closer to the microphone.
Amazing Grace.
What's the number?
572. We're going to sing 1, 2, 3, and 6.
1, 2, 3, and 6. You probably know it by heart.
Yeah.
So I need you to sing more in the mic so they can hear. I need them to hear. People say, we need to hear more of your dad and less of you. Amen. All right, here we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found.
Was blind,
but now I see. 'Twas grace that caught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace had brought me therefrom, and grace will take me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Amen.
Amen to that, brother.
Well, it's time to send everybody out today. We've got good seed to sow. We've got good fields to sow it in. We're not even going to pay attention to the soil. We're going to sow it on the path and the rocks and the thorns. You never know where the good soil is going to be, so you sow it everywhere all the time.
Amen.
We're not sowing efficiently. We're sowing
extravagantly.
Yes, good. And, you know, it's kind of like we're not sowing down the rows. What's the other way of sowing?
Broadcast.
Broadcast. That means everywhere.
Broadcasting.
And it's interesting how that's the term for what we're doing here. We're broadcasting.
It takes more seed.
It takes more seed.
But you get a good stand.
It brings a better crop, doesn't it?
Yeah. In the long run. It's the best better.
All right. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you on
the field.
See you on the field.